The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter comes from Acts chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will once again direct you to your small catechism insert. Today, we confess together on the sacrament of the altar. What is the sacrament of the altar?
It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink.
Where is this written?
The holy evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The epistle comes from 1 John, chapters 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Our next hymn for this morning is number 649. Thank you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Have any of you ever experienced total darkness? Not just a little bit of darkness, but total darkness. I can say there's been one time in my life where that has happened. My family and I traveled to Mammoth Caves when I was a kid. And they led us into this giant chamber on this tour or whatever. And the tour guide told us, if anybody has an electronic device or like a glow-in-the-dark face on their watch or something, they said, please cover it up at this time. And he walks over to this little electrical box and he flips a switch. And you could literally have your fingers within inches of your eyeballs and you couldn't see them. Total darkness. Now, admittedly, there was somebody who maybe did not cover up their wristwatch or something, because I caught a glimpse of something across the room. But it's interesting how light and dark really cannot occupy the same space. It just doesn't work. If there is any light whatsoever, it is not total darkness. Well, in our epistle lesson for this morning, John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Who exactly has the apostle heard this message from? Well, of course, as we read our gospel lesson and as we continue through 1 John, we know that the person John has heard this from and touched with his own hands is our own dear Lord Jesus Christ. This is the person who sent John onto this writing so that way the church might be benefited. And what would our Lord have us know about light and darkness, especially in relation to God and to ourselves? Well, first is that God is light. It doesn't take long. As you read through Scripture, you see that this theme comes up over and over and over again. Even in the very first verses of Genesis, there is chaos and darkness, and God says, "Let there be light." Light becomes this symbol for us of purity and holiness and the source of all truth and wisdom and happiness. And there is no darkness in God, none at all. No ignorance, no imperfection, no corruption, no sinfulness at all. The Easter miracle shows us that much as well. Where do we find Jesus on Good Friday, right? But while he's hanging on the cross, darkness falls over the land during the daytime. And shortly thereafter, Jesus gives up his spirit, his bleeding and suffering and dying, and it is truly the darkness of death. But it's Easter. And so we know that what happens, but 3 days later, the resurrection light overcomes that darkness. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We know this truth. In fact, we confess this truth quite frequently. But maybe a better question is, where does this truth lead us? Well, as John explains, it leads us to fellowship with God. Your faith in Jesus' death and resurrection gives you full access to the Father. You can go to a divine being who is far higher and far superior to us, but the reason we're able to do it is because Jesus' sacrifice makes you light. It gives you fellowship with him. And so now, as we've been doing through this entire worship service, we reflect on what God has done for us in his Son, and we praise him. We worship him. And consequently, he sends his blessings down to us. Many people call it a relationship with God. We speak, and he speaks. We praise, and he delivers his blessing. And it's something that's only possible by faith in the bloodied and crucified and, of course, risen Jesus Christ. God, who is light, has now made you light. And in turn, this also leads us to this very room. We're here in fellowship with each other. We're all here for the same purpose, and it's to gather around this crucified and risen Lord. God has made us light together. In fact, I don't know if you were paying attention to the words of that last hymn. Blessed be the ties that bind. Right? We're here to uphold each other in the faith, to encourage each other in the faith, to make sure that none of us falls away from being this light that God has made us. And so we do. We gather together that we might support and uphold each other in our own time. And of course, we even have the faith of the saints, you know, though all those who have gone before, as an encouragement too. We're united with them just as much as we're united with those people that we can see in this place, because what unites us, that tie that binds, is Jesus himself. So, God makes us light, and it leads us to fellowship with each other and fellowship with him. However, the apostle goes on. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There is a requirement for those whom God has brought into fellowship. There's a code of conduct, if you want to call it that. If we are light, as God has made us, then God expects us to live as light. He expects us to live in fellowship with him, and he expects us to live in fellowship with one another. Any Christian who acts according to darkness, who walks in sin and ignorance and corruption and selfishness, they are liars. They are those who do not practice the truth. And so to say that you are a Christian, but to continue to live a sin-filled life, it's incongruent with being the light of God. It is utterly and entirely hypocritical. This is why, as we well know, the unrepentant, right, those who don't see their sin and their darkness as a problem, they're excluded from the absolution. When the words of Christ and the forgiveness of your sins is spoken over you at the front of the service, it's not for the unrepentant. If there's ever someone who is unrepentant amongst us, they don't have the opportunity to approach the altar of God. They are barred from receiving Christ's body and blood on their lips. They're put out of the Christian congregation because you cannot be both light and dark. To be light, but then to have a life and confession that is darkness, those two things cannot occupy the same space. God's people can't be both. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. It's faith or no faith. It's repentance or no repentance. It's forgiveness or no forgiveness. This is why we as Christians in repentance and faith, we leave behind the ways of our darkness and sin. For God has called us out of that reality into his marvelous light, into his fellowship to be with him and to be with all of the people who have faith. God has called us to holiness and truth and wisdom and purity. This is what God's will is for you. But there's a problem. And I'm sure you all know this, especially because I know most of you very, very dearly. You're sinners. You still sin. And not just occasionally, but to the point where you cannot stop. No matter how hard you try, how much you resist, you still succumb to temptation again and again and again. My friends, this is true of even the best and the strongest Christians. Because the darkness of our sin-filled nature, it still creeps into our lives and it tries to extinguish the light that Christ has made us. And these little excursions of ours into the darkness from time to time, we can't help but wonder then, are we the liars and hypocrites that John is writing about? My friends, John's not done writing. In the next few verses, he pens these words. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, having gone through divine service, setting one over and over again, we all have these words memorized, do we not? This is just how we started our service this morning. But God doesn't want us to pretend as if there is no darkness within us, but he wants us to take that darkness to the foot of the cross. Not to pretend like we are sinless and that we are perfectly living in the light. No, because to live in the light means to live in repentance. Yes, the word of God reveals your sin. It goes into the darkest corners of your heart and it shows you that you cannot hide. You are utterly lost and destroyed without God himself. The law lays us bare to the point where we have to admit our failure. But this is just as what Christ did. On Good Friday, he seemingly succumbs to the darkness, only to rise to newness of light and life 3 days later. And so we come to this place confessing our sin, saying that, yes, there is darkness within me, Lord. And you know what? Seemingly, we are succumbing to that darkness because we have to humbly admit that truth. But in the very next moment, for all of you who repent and confess your sins, Jesus gives you a certainty that your sins are forgiven, and all of the darkness is cast out. Every single last bit of it. And you are light once again. No, the truth is that you who have gathered here in repentance and faith, you are light not on your own. You're light not because you can be perfect. You're light because of God's grace. And the only way for any of us to continue in that grace, to continue in that fellowship with God and with one another, is to continually gather around the forgiveness that Christ offers. To continually hear the absolution that Christ delivers to you. To continually receive the body and blood of Jesus on your lips and in your mouth. Because that's what fellowship is with God. And that's what fellowship is with one another. Is to be together. To continue to gather around the cross and empty tomb with your fellow Christians. If you want to remain light, then we avoid the dark. And my friends, there's certainly one way to succumb to the darkness, and that is to depart from what God has given you in word and sacrament. My friends, Jesus has been crucified and risen for you, that you might enjoy forgiveness and righteousness and fellowship with God and all the saints. He has made you light and rescued you from the darkness. Let's walk in the light. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.